Would you pray with me one more time, please? Father, last night the rain and today the wind. We thank you for the privilege that we still have of meeting in this little tent on your Sabbath day. As we've come to the close of this week, I pray that your Spirit in a special way will be with us one last time during this special service. And then again, of course, tonight as we say farewell to many new friends and some of the friends we've known from before. But I pray that we might never quite be the same for having spent this week with you in this tent. And may those young men and the young women who came forward last night and gave their life to you never be the same again. May the baptism this afternoon be the beginning of a new walk with you in a very special way. And I pray, Father, that the team that's in this tent today will support them and stand behind them and will uplift their hands spiritually and will pray for them that they might never lose their way but always keep their eyes on Jesus, for I ask it in His name. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I would invite you to take them and turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew and chapter 26. Chapter 26 and verse 30 is where our story begins this morning. Jesus had met with his disciples in an upper room, as you recall the story. They had had communion together. And then verse 30 says, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now Peter answered and said, Verily, he says, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter had a problem very similar to our problems today. Some of us have made commitments in our life that we're going to be faithful. We're not going to step aside. We won't fail. And then comes a test in our life, and suddenly we find that our own commitment wavers and we fall. This morning I'd like to talk with you heart to heart. Very important message. A message that I think might help you to carry on with your commitment that I think most of you have made this week. In order to have a friend truly be your friend, it's imperative that you get to know them. In order to get to know somebody, you have to spend time with them. In order to spend time with them, you must take time out of your regular schedule and plug in that priority. If you spend no time with your friend, you will never get to really know them. And if you don't know them, you'll probably never trust them. And if you never trust them, you will never fall in love with them. For love, we discovered the very first night, is based upon trust. And trust can only come with knowledge and understanding the person. And so I'm suggesting today that there is something in this simple story that's a key that will help you who have truly given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, will help you to remain firm to that commitment. Peter, even though he said he was going to remain firm, and even though some of you have said, I will not fall, I will follow Jesus, I will put that certain line, I will not cross over the barrier. If you are like so many of us, you will sooner or later fall, as did Peter, unless you heed the counsel of the wisdom from God's Word this morning. But Peter was assured, and so he boastfully says, Lord, I will never be offended. And Jesus turns to him and says, Peter, verily I say unto you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Young people, I suggest tonight, even though we leave this tent and this hallowed spot, tonight some of you will be tested. Some of you seated here today might feel I am comfortable with Jesus. You may feel that I've made my commitment with Jesus. You may feel that I'm going all the way with Jesus. And tonight, you're going to be tested. Before the bell rings in the morning, some of you will probably have fallen from your commitment. Why? Because some of us are trusting in our own self-assurance rather than trusting in the constant power of God moment by moment. Some of us today will probably take our eyes off of Jesus and we will drift and we will fall short of the mark that we've even set for ourselves. I'm saying today you don't have to, but I'm saying you will if you end up like Peter. Folks, we must keep our eyes on Jesus if you want to uphold the standard that you have set for yourself. Peter went on to boast and he said, "Lord, it isn't true. Even though Jesus said, before the night is over, you will deny me three times." Peter said, "That isn't true. It isn't true. I know my heart. For though," he said, "though should I die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise said all the disciples. You know, it's interesting when we have a certain person who's the leader of a group. The leader says his little piece and the rest of us sort of chime in behind. "Yeah, we agree with him. We agree with him. That's true." And so it was that the rest of them agreed with Peter, "We will not deny you, Lord. We will not deny that we're Seventh-day Adventist Christians." And then the Bible suddenly turns into another picture. Verse 36. Then it is that Jesus comes into a place called Gethsemane. The words of Peter are still ringing on the night air. "I will never deny you." They walk into this little place called Gethsemane, and the disciples go with him. Jesus then tells the disciples to sit while he goes a little farther into the garden to pray, and he asks if James and John and Peter will accompany him into a special part of that garden. He says to them in verse 38, he says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Watch with me." And there's the key. Watch with me and pray. Two keys. Watch and pray. What are you watching this morning? You know, you can even watch the preacher and yet see other visions on your screen in the mind. Did you know that? Did you know that you can watch and look so good to the preacher? In fact, the preacher might even be looking at you. Your mother, your dad might be looking at you. Your teacher might be looking at you and say, "Isn't he or she attentive? They're always watching me." But yet you're having visions on your eyelids. You know what I mean? Your mind is 1,000 miles away. You can hardly wait till Saturday night. And tonight you're going to be having fun, fun, fun. You can hardly wait because you can already anticipate what's coming. Again, Jesus said, "Watch and pray." Why? Because the hour of temptation approaches. And those of us that have made commitments this week will be tempted before the bell rings in the morning. Some of us will have fallen. Why? Because we fail to watch and we fail to pray. Two important things. Now, Peter was a grown man. He wasn't a teenager. He didn't have an excuse, I should say. I'm not saying you should have one either. But why would these grown men fail who have already lived their youth, who have already known the process of failing to watch and pray? Jesus went on into the garden and he fell on his face and prayed. "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came back to his disciples, and you remember what they were doing? Sleeping. And he says to Peter, "Could you not watch with me?" Does anybody remember how long? 1 hour, 60 minutes. Why is it that when it comes to praying, some of us couldn't pray for 10 minutes? And yet when it comes to watching TV and videos, we can sit on a hard bench for 2 solid hours. We can sit in the bleachers and watch soccer games. We can watch hockey games, freezing cold. We can watch football games and the winter winds are blowing and we'll sit on a hard bench in the bleachers and we'll sit there for 2 to 3 hours and shout and yell and have a good time and never worry about our backside. But we go into our prayer bedroom, we get down on our little knees on a rug and fall asleep on the bed in 10 minutes.
What's happened to us? Where are our priorities? What's happened to us? You notice I'm saying the same thing to me because I have the same problem. We can watch that which is so exciting, but when it comes to eternal situations in our life, somehow we just can't seem to stay awake. And Jesus said, couldn't you watch just 60 minutes? Half the length of a good movie? Uh-uh. Desire of Ages, page 83 says, it would be well for us, that's you and me, to spend a thoughtful hour each day. That's 7 hours a week. Not watching TV. An hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. When Jesus was praying in that garden, it was the hardest prayers that he had ever prayed on this earth. Because your eternal life was hanging in the balance as Jesus prayed. My eternal life was hanging in the balance when Jesus prayed. And his disciples were asleep. Jesus, again, two words. Verse 41 says, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. What do you fellas do when your flesh gets weak? You pump iron. What do you do when your muscles get flabby? You pump iron. If you want to be in shape mentally and spiritually, what do you do when you have a flabby brain? You put it to the test. You pull out the hardest book in the world to read and you start lifting it. You pick it up. It's a heavy book. And you start doing mental gymnastics with it until your brain can become solid. Solid in the Word of God. Some of us have weak, flabby brains because we're not doing the exercise that God asks us to do. Remember again, Great Controversy 593. I've shared it with you before. It says, none but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of this Bible, of the Word of God, will stand through the last great conflict. Folks, how do you suppose you can fortify a relationship with a friend? How can you make a relationship with a friend stick? A lasting relationship. May I suggest the only way you'll ever do it is to spend time building that relationship. Interaction in that relationship. Communication in that relationship. Putting it as a priority in your life. You'll never have a tremendous body, fellas, by trying to pump iron one day and saying, well, that should do it. You're going to have to go on a regular program, and in order to maintain that physique, you're going to have to continue it as long as you live. When I was in high school, we had a young fellow that was very, very muscular. He did a very nice job, and everything was in perfect symmetry. Everything. Muscles from his legs, his calves, his thighs, his biceps, his triceps, his pecs, everything was nice. He was one handsome-looking dude, we called him. He was a nice-looking guy. I saw him a few years later, and I didn't recognize him. I used to go into his weight room, and he used to always be in there. He would show me a few things and what he used to do. He was proud of his body. I saw him a few years later. He had been married, divorced. I didn't recognize him. His hair was much longer. He didn't have any personal self-worth, it seemed like, at that time. He had his shirt off. I couldn't believe it. His muscles were gone. Those nice, bulging biceps. Man, I mean, he was a specimen to behold. And I looked at him now, and I wondered, where in the world had he gone? He looked like he had come out of some concentration camp. All he had done was gotten married. And that certainly shouldn't have done that to him. He got married, then was divorced, and somehow his mind was no longer centered on keeping his body in shape because his mind suddenly had gone through a tragedy. And his whole world crumbled. And he no longer was concerned about maintaining his body. His mind, I might say, was basically in the same condition as his body the last time I saw him. Messed up. And I felt so sorry for him. Young people, the only way you maintain it is to continue on what you have started. You cannot stop exercising once you've started. Once you start a relationship with someone, you must continue to build on it if you're ever going to endure to the end in that relationship. There are many marriages that think, well, once we get married, once we say, I do at the altar, then everything's peace and tranquility. Folks, that's only the beginning of your life together. It's not the end.
The way some people spend their money on that day, you'd think it was the end of all things. I cannot believe, young people, that some of us look forward to that great day when we unite ourselves together, and from then on, it's life as usual. Folks, that should be the beginning. It's like a marriage with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're born again, it's only the beginning. It's only a new birth. The baptism is a birth. It's not a graduation. From this world, we do not graduate until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. That's why we must continually watch and pray, hour by hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We must never take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ or we will fall. I wish someone would have shared that with me or gotten that through my head many, many years ago when I was your age. For some reason, I believed there was something magic about being baptized, that when I was baptized, then I would come up out of the water and never again would I sin. Never again would I have temptation. Never again would I fall. I discovered that isn't true. I discovered that I had to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I discovered that the old flesh must die daily. Some things in my life I have to keep under constant subjection. I must do battle daily with some things in my life, just like you do, or you too fall. But there's a joy. There's a real joy in your life when you are gaining victory over the enemy. It's a real joy when you see little mental muscles beginning to bulge that have never bulged before. It's nice to see the mind coming into shape. It's nice to know that you can do battle with the enemy through the power of Jesus Christ and actually gain victory over habits in your life that have held you captive. There's a thrill to see a change coming in your physical or spiritual physique. It is exciting to be in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples, however, had not experienced that, and they slept. Jesus went away the second time and prayed again the same prayer. Have you ever prayed twice for the same thing and not received it? So did Jesus. Third time, Jesus went away and prayed. After having come back to his disciples and awakened them the second time, he came back a third time. Listen to what it says. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. How are your eyes at 5 o'clock in the morning? Heavy? Now, some of you may get up at 5 o'clock and have done it for years, but if you're going to pump iron, fellas, if you're going to get onto a schedule and you're going to be jogging or running or whatever you're going to do to get your endurance built up, you have to stay on a schedule. So you may rise before the sun does, and you may get on that schedule. I'm suggesting the same for spiritual food. We must get onto a schedule. We must not allow the flesh to control us. We, through the Spirit and the power of God, must control the flesh. There's a big difference. Too many of us, may I suggest, are being controlled by our lower nature and not allowing the higher nature to control us. And so it is. The eyes get heavy at 5 in the morning. We've made a commitment that I'm going to bounce out of bed, come rain, snow, sleet, hail. I'm going to be out of bed and I'm going to be on my knees and I'm going to start a prayer life with the Lord Jesus Christ at 5 o'clock. And the first morning you bounce out of bed and are asleep within 5 minutes by your bed. What I suggest is you do is you bounce out of bed into a cold shower. And that'll wake you up. Don't get on your knees first thing. That's what I've discovered, that when I kneel down, I'm so tired many mornings that I fall asleep. So I have to bounce out of bed, go wash my face, do a few little push-ups, do something to say, hi, everybody. Nobody's up then, but I have to at least recognize the world's awake. And I'm part of it. I'm alive. I'm awake. And then I go back and I begin to study the Word of God and pray. That is something I cannot break in my routine. When I break that hour with the Lord Jesus Christ early in the morning and that hour of prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot succeed through the day. And young people, neither can you. And neither could the disciples. And notice what Jesus says in verse 44. These first four words, the first time I remember one morning, early I was reading these,
And I'll tell you, it hit me very, very hard because it reminded me of a statement in volume 1 of the Testimonies, 486, which I'm going to share with you. Listen to what it says. And Jesus came and found the disciples sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. They'd given into the flesh. And he left them. Pretty strong four words. I read in volume 1, 486, that Ellen says there'll come a time among many of us who are still holding on to many things in our life that we don't want to get rid of. And she makes this statement, quote, they seem joined to their idols, and God will soon say to his angels, let them alone. There'll come a time, young people, when God will let us alone. He'll let us do what we want to do, and he'll allow us to sleep on. And then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest, for behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Some of us have good intentions. Young people, intentions will never get us to the kingdom of heaven. We must act on those intentions. We must put our life in harmony with what we profess in our mind. It's not enough to believe and give mental assent that there is a God. Remember, the devil even believes that, and he trembles. We must not only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by His power and by His grace, we must put our life in harmony with what we profess. Otherwise, our life is phony. And what did the disciples do? They did exactly what Jesus said they would do in verse 56. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. There was one man that I'm not certain really forsook Jesus that night. In fact, I have a hunch that that man's life was changed forever. We don't know about him. He was a simple servant. Peter had drawn his sword and cut off his ear. You remember the story. It's all part right there. But I've often wondered about that man who lost his ear that night. We don't hear about him on the fact he lost his ear. But I've imagined in my mind that somewhere along the line there was one man changed that night, even though the disciples ran away and everybody left him. I think there was one man, a servant, that every time that he ever awakened in the morning and went to wash his face and put his finger toward that ear, that man was touched with a miracle that he could not understand. He knew that he had lost his ear, and he knew that the man that they were binding to crucify and to ridicule and condemn was an innocent man. And he knew that it was the touch of that man's hand on his ear that created new skin, new flesh. And I have a hunch that every time he saw himself in the reflection pool, that he touched that ear and remembered the man they crucified, but the man who reached out to give him hearing once again. Jesus says in the book of Matthew, blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. For many a righteous man hath desired to see what you see and to hear what you hear, but has not seen nor heard. Some of you have been here all week and have heard things. Some of you have been here all week and have seen things. And some of you rejoice because of what you've seen and what you've heard. There are others that have come and have seen and have heard, but have never known what you saw and never knew what you heard. I pray for two things in your life. Number one, that you will take time to watch, and that you will take time to pray, putting Jesus Christ first in your life. Every day, I pray that you will do it. Spend time with God, that you might get to know Him, and to know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to keep His commandments, and to keep His commandments is to have eternal life. But you must spend time. If you don't, one day He will say to you, sleep on now and take your rest, for behold, the hour is at hand. Let us pray. Loving Father, I thank You for each man and each woman here today. I thank You for the encouragement as well as the warning that You've given us. The encouragement that You love us, that You've sent Jesus to die that we might have eternal life, and the warning that if we neglect such great salvation,
by putting it off, that it might cost us our eternal life. Father, may today be a new beginning in our life where we will dedicate our life, our minds, our bodies to you, that we might determine to prioritize our priorities and each day start the new day with you and dedicate an hour of that day to study and prayer, that we might get to know you, so that we will learn to trust you and then fall in love with you, so that we will be obedient to your requirements and ultimately, as a result of that relationship, be able to be in your coming kingdom. Father, we thank you for being with us this week. We thank you for the privilege we've had of sharing openly, discussing, and not offending needlessly. Father, we love you and we just thank you for this Sabbath. And we thank you for the young men and the women who this afternoon will begin a new experience with you through the rite of baptism. And now, Father, go with us until we meet again, for we pray it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.